Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder, 3 o'clock hour on the program. Josh Appel in for Hawk, Crowder, and Solana. Jimmy is here, and so is Steven. Jimmy, how was your Christmas?
It was fantastic.
What'd you get?
I got myself, but I finally was able to open it, a PS5.
That's right. Why did you wait that long?
I don't know. It was just my gift to myself. I was willing to wait because, you know, I don't know, just was something I wanted to do.
Tradition.
Well said.
Yeah.
what's the first game you downloaded for the old PS5?
The College Football 25.
Yeah, I was addicted to that when it first came out, but had some frustrating luck as far as figuring out how to place kick, and I kind of gave up on it after a little bit.
It is not easy.
No, it is not. Like anything over 40 yards, you're in deep doo-doo.
Especially on the road. You got that stadium pulse going. God. It's over.
The squigglies? It's over.
I kept on throwing picks.
That's not surprising.
You had a Jared Goff 5-pick game in his first game on the sticks.
Jimmy, are we going to play Fortnite together? OG version?
No, I'm not really a big Fortnite fan.
Where are we landing, boys?
Moisty. Nobody knows what that means. Thanks to Alex Dono from Locked On Canes, Locked On ACC, and of course right here on WQM. Thanks to him for joining us in the last segment. Some great stuff on Coach L and Canes football program moving forward. Solana couldn't stay away, or I annoyed him to the point where he couldn't say no. He's going to join us in the next segment, and we will talk the Jimmy Butler situation with the Miami Heat. If you're just joining us, of course, we know that a couple of weeks ago, Shams Charania came out with a report that Jimmy Butler wanted to be traded from the Heat. Jimmy's agent then publicly pushed back on that, and then it kind of went away for a little bit. And then Shams, either yesterday or the day before, came out with the report. I think it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
That Jimmy Butler prefers to be traded, would be okay with finishing the season with the Heat, has not formally requested a trade, but would prefer to be dealt. And it seems like that relationship with the Heat has met its tipping point. But Pat Riley put out a statement, rarely comments on rumors, shut down everything, and said the Heat are not going to trade Jimmy Butler. We'll see if that holds true and they finish out the season together, or if the Heat do indeed end up dealing Jimmy Butler. We'll talk with Solana about that. I'm curious where Heat fans stand on this. Are the Heat fans on Jimmy Butler's side, or are they on the organization's side? Do they want to keep Jimmy Butler, or do they want to do right by Jimmy Butler? Or are Heat fans done with this iteration of the Miami Heat led by Jimmy?
I would think that Heat fans are on Jimmy's side this time. I just feel like as of late, Heat fans as a whole, they kind of have drifted away from the whole like Pat Riley can do no wrong type of thing.
It's such a tough spot with Pat because obvious reasons. But the frustrating part is they obviously haven't added significant pieces. They've tried. Well, we know about what happened with Damian Lillard. Maybe some of that was out of their control. Donovan Mitchell was the popular name for a little bit. That obviously didn't happen. The big whale that they've been trying to pair up with Jimmy, with Bam, they haven't been able to bring in. Now, Tyler Hero has had a phenomenal start to this season, and he was basically the Heat's main trade piece in trying to add a guy like Lillard or a guy like Spider. But maybe he's played himself into a scenario where you don't really want to give up a guy like Tyler Hero.
Yeah, he's played himself into a scenario where Tyler Hero is the better option out of whatever trades you were going to make. Just a guy who's already been here. He's honestly a fan favorite. Most people have really rocked with Hero since day one.
Is he a fan favorite?
I would think so.
I feel like he's very polarizing.
I feel like this year he's starting to get on everybody's good graces.
Well, he's certainly, I mean, this year alone has looked like the best version of Tyler Hero.
By far.
Since the Heat drafted him. Yeah, by far. It's really not close. So I wonder if the calculus and how that changes for Pat Riley. It's an interesting time for the Heat because it's clear that this iteration and how they're built has reached its ceiling. And in 2024/2025, this group is most likely not winning a title. But maybe Pat Riley wants to run it back and just hope for the best and then part ways after the season with Jimmy Butler. But we'll get our Heat expert, Alejandro Solana, on the case in the next segment. Before we get to headlines, I want to play this for you. We know Hawk has a great relationship with Coach L. They share their Wordle scores together, and I think that's the extent of their relationship. Which, really, if you think about it, that is the height of friendship, is only sharing your Wordle scores with each other.
Yeah.
Hawk Whitty and I start every day by sending our Wordle scores into the Hakeover group chat. But on the Canes' run to the Final Four, Hawk could not help himself in bringing the nonsense to the Coach L interview. And I want to take you back to this clip from that interview before we get to headlines.
Coach Larrañaga, would you like to know my Wordle score today?
Yeah, you're kind of proud of something that's very trivial. You sent me your Wordle score. I couldn't even read it. You sent a picture. You didn't send a picture of how you got there, what your key words were. You just sent me something like that. I did it in two or three. I don't even know.
It was the other day.
I deleted it the moment I saw it. I got no interest.
Today,
If you had sent me your way of accomplishing it, I might have stole some of your ideas.
Well, but I didn't know. I didn't know if you've done it today yet, so I didn't want to share with you what I used as my opening word because I use a different word every day. Do you start with the same word every day?
No, my wife does, but I don't.
Yeah, I like to mix it up.
And to be honest, I compete with my wife, not with you.
Well, I got it today in two. I got it in two, Coach.
He doesn't want to play this game.
But I got it in two today. That's my Final Four.
That's impossible.
This is how I win.
Impossible. You cheated.
I did not cheat.
Okay, what was your opening word?
Well, if somebody hasn't played, though, I'll just text it to you. I'll text it to you. But I got it in two. I swear to God.
I swear to God. Get it.
Okay, just the you want just the opening word? Okay, I'll text you just the opening word.
Hey, Crowder, he probably got four letters correct in the first word.
No, I didn't. I swear to God.
All he had to do was guess the last letter.
First of all, I'm so brilliant, you may not even know what my opening word is. That's how brilliant today's play was. Oh, I don't know where it came from. I know where it came from. It's my UM education, Coach.
You got a swag up, Coach.
Yeah, I'm feeling it.
Hey, did you actually graduate?
Well, I mean, I paid all 4 years. And the check's cleared. It's as good as graduating. All right, Coach Jim Larrañaga, we know you got to go. Enjoy the Final Four. We are enjoying it. Congratulations. We are just beside ourselves with excitement.
See you guys.
See you, Coach. There you go, Jim Larrañaga. It was remarkable today that I got it in two.
Hawk, you're talking and bragging about a Wordle score.
I know. This is my Final Four, Crowder.
You're aging yourself.
This is my Final Four.
It's not, because you have another word tomorrow.
That's right. And I've got to perform at the highest level if I want to get to the level of getting it in two. Just telling you.
It's impossible to get it in two.
I've gotten it in one.
It's impossible.
Okay, it is for you because you went to FIU.
How could you get a word in one try when there's billions of words?
That's right.
Billions of letters.
That's right.
You got to narrow
actually,
it down.
Not really billions of letters, but how could that be possible?
He just said there's billions of letters. Do you know how many letters are in the alphabet?
34.
No way. You know that.
You
answer.
Have to know. You have to.
23.
I hope
there
he's
you
playing.
Go. Jim Larrañaga, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't. I'm having trouble thinking of what my favorite part of that clip is. Obviously, I think number one is just how much disdain Coach L has for Hawk. Number one. Number two, I forgot from when I first heard that segment that Solana goes billions of letters and billions of. Oh, God, this show. Coach L, end of an era, best coach in Canes hoops history and Hawks Wordle buddy, even though Coach L despises Hawks' very existence. Ryan Sense of Funky Buddha texted me before I tossed to that. He wants in on the witty Hawk and Josh, I just refer to myself in the third person, Wordle group text. I don't think that he's worthy of admission to the group thread. Maybe we start a separate Wordle thread, but as far as being added to the main one, I don't think Ryan Sense of Funky Buddha is worthy of it. I wonder if he was listening to Iron Eagle on the Netflix broadcast of the first game of the day yesterday, Chiefs Steelers, when Ian made the Stranger Things reference. And because we know famously how, yeah, dude, Ian and Noah Eagle going back to back on Netflix for the NFL yesterday. Imagine if you don't know that they're related or you don't know that either of them is like the general average person who doesn't know who these broadcasters are. You tune in for the first game and it's Ian, and then you tune in for the second game and it's the younger clone of Ian. It's got to be jarring for a lot of people who don't know.
Well, I think also having the McCourty twins sitting next to each other at halftime also might have made a couple people do a double take.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought the coverage by Netflix yesterday, the talent involved, the technical side of things, awesome.
Terrific.
It was an incredibly pleasurable viewing experience and obviously a massive upgrade from what we all had to deal with during the Jake Paul Mike Tyson sham of a fight, sham of a broadcast. Yeah. That was, we knew the NFL wouldn't allow it to get to that point with their doubleheader yesterday.
What do you think about the score bug? I've seen a lot of talk on X about it. I liked it.
It was clean.
Yeah,
I know they had some technical glitches early on, but they figured it out. That's an A-plus job from Netflix yesterday, from top to bottom. I loved the studio show with Kay Adams, Drew Brees, RG3,
Manti Te'o. I got the fellas fired up. Kay Adams.
Yeah. Listen.
Yeah.
I agree. Manti Te'o, very handsome.
We're not going to get into the imaginary jokes when it comes to Manti Te'o.
let's go to our 3 o'clock headlines. We've got Solana joining us. Later this hour, talk to Miami Heat. Let's get our headlines here.
Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. Christmas Day football on Netflix. Chiefs victorious over the Steelers 29-10. They clinched the first round bye and the home field advantage in the AFC with the W. Travis Kelce passes Tony Gonzalez for first place all-time in Chiefs tight end receiving touchdowns. Ravens get the win over the Texans 31-2. No Scorigami, surprisingly. Lamar Jackson.
Sad. Third time that score's happened.
Yeah. Lamar Jackson moves into first all-time in career rush yards by a quarterback over Michael Vick, 6,110 yards.
Cameron Wolf of NFL Network is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. That MVP race between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is heating up. I'm curious to see what Cam thinks about how that'll shake out.
Tonight, we got Thursday night football. The Seahawks will travel to Chicago to take on the Bears from Soldier Field. Former Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll has shown some interest in the Bears head coach vacancy for a possible comeback into the NFL. The Dolphins will take on the Browns this Sunday in Cleveland, 4:05 p.m. kickoff for that game. Trying to keep the playoff hopes alive. Hopefully Saturday goes well for Dolphin fans, and we get to see our team go to war with playoff hopes on the line.
Yeah, Chargers and Broncos, if both of them win on Saturday, the Dolphins are eliminated. So the Dolphins are hoping for two Chargers losses or two Broncos losses and one Colts loss, with the Dolphins beating Cleveland and the Jets to close out the year.
There it is. Little something to root for. NBA Christmas Day, Average winning margin across all five games yesterday, only 5 points. That's the narrowest average winning margin on Christmas Day in NBA history. LeBron saying, hey, I love the NFL, but Christmas is our day.
That game was awesome.
That was incredible. Curry hitting that game time three.
That crowd was awesome. We got a double bang from Mike Breen.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when you got a double bang from Mike Breen, that's when you know.
Yeah. Nothing like watching your team lose and hearing Mike Breen hit you with a bang. Luka Doncic expected to miss an extended period of time for the Dallas Mavericks with a calf strain. Jimmy Butler trade rumors are heating up, but they kind of got shot down today by Pat Riley earlier today, saying that the Heat will not look to trade Jimmy Butler. The Heat will take on the Orlando Magic tonight at 7 p.m. in Orlando from the Kia Center. Pre-game coverage will start at 5:45 right here on WQAM following our show. Hurricanes basketball coach Jim Larrañaga steps down immediately after 14 seasons with the program, winning his coach in program history. Canes are currently 4-8. They're off until January 1st. Three bowl games today. We got the first going on right now, Pittsburgh and Toledo. Toledo with a 19-12 lead right now in the second quarter, 7:24
Just had a pick six.
Yep.
Great for our over 49.
Yeah, you're almost, you're halfway there. We're good to go.
Where were you when the Game Above Sports Bowl hit the over 49?
Yeah, live right here on Hawk and Crowder. We've got Rutgers taking on Kansas State at 5:30 in the Rate Bowl from Chase Field in Arizona. Arkansas State will take on Bowling Green later tonight at 9 p.m. in the 68 Ventures Bowl from Hancock Whitney Stadium in Alabama. The Canes take on Iowa State in the Pop-Tarts Bowl this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. in Orlando from Camping World Stadium. Listen to all the action right here on 560 WQAM. And the Panthers, they're off until Saturday. They take on the Canadiens at 1 p.m. on home ice at the Amerant Bank Arena. Now time for your weather, sponsored by DeMesmin and Dover Law Firm. YourAccidentAttorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. Weather 80 degrees outside, 7-mile-an-hour winds, 62% humidity. Seems like there won't be any rain in the forecast for the rest of the day. Seems like it'll be a nice night.
Awesome. Thank you, Steven. Coming up next, Alejandro Solana will come on, talk some Heat, talk some Jimmy Butler. That's next on Hawk and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Hawk and Crowder.
Welcome back to Hawk and Crowder. Appel, and for Hawk, Crowder, Solana. I would say Jimmy, but Jimmy's here.
I am here.
Confirmed. Steven is also here. And despite the fact that it's his day off from this show, at least, we are so happy to be joined by the executive producer of the Hawk and Crowder Show, Alejandro Solana. He joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Solana, let's start here. It's National Candy Cane Day. Are you in or out on a candy cane?
Yeah, I'm out. You know, like, I know it's the holidays and everybody loves a candy cane, but I can't tell you the last time I had a candy cane, and truthfully, I can't tell you the last time I opened up a candy cane and enjoyed it. Like, it just became a chore to finish it at a certain point, because are you supposed to bite into it? Do you chew it? I'm not a big fan of, I mean, you know, I suffer from gum issues. That's been very well documented on this show, Pell. So maybe it's because I have failing gums and have had failing gums for my entire life. But no, I'm out on candy cane. Miss me with hard candy and miss me with just like a weird shaped hard candy.
Yeah, it's so much work with the plastic and the it takes a long time. And you know, especially if you have thumbs.
And which way is the proper way to eat a candy cane? Like, has that ever been studied scientifically? Mm. Like, does anybody actually know? Do you start it like at the top, or is that the part where you're supposed to hold it? Like, you know what I mean? I understand why that's there. The curvature is there so you can hang it from a Christmas tree. I realize that. But then once the time comes to consume said candy cane, do you hold it at the bottom where the curvature is? Do you start at the curvature? It's just like, if I have to go through an entire, process to figure out how to eat something, I'm out. I'm done. No, thank you.
Let's open a wrapper. Let's pop the candy into the mouth. Let's chew it. Let's be done. This candy cane, too much work.
Yeah. And if I have to hold something to eat it, you know, like outside of maybe a churro, if I have to hold something in my hand to eat it, like there's very, very few items that I'm on board with, like a corn dog, perhaps, or a churro, perhaps. But like a hard candy, now I'm like sucking on this hard candy. It's for kids. It's a lollipop. That's it. No adult should be eating a candy cane. I'm sorry.
And now you've got all these candy companies, these different candies making their own versions of themselves into candy canes. Enough. All right. Enough. Nobody wants that.
I'm glad we're on the same page here. I was fully expecting you to be caping up for candy canes. I don't know why, but I just was.
You brought up corn dogs, and I have a shameful admission to make. I've never had a corn dog.
Oh my God. I regret picking up this phone now. What do you mean you've never had a corn dog?
Never had a corn dog. If I'm gonna have something that's a hot dog based food, I'm just gonna have a hot dog.
Right, but okay. You like hot dogs? Clearly, we've established that. Do you like?
Yes. Well done on a grill with some burn marks.
All right. Do you like corn?
As corn, yes.
Okay. Perfect. There you go. Corn dog. I mean, what's not to like? It's on a stick.
It's not. It's not a matter of me liking a corn dog itself or what's used to make it. It's just I've never had one, and I've never really wanted to have one. I don't know.
I love a corn dog. Like, you go to the fair, I mean, you give me a corn dog, put a little mustard on top of that thing. I mean, I am a big time fan of a corn dog. Big time.
Jimmy's face is in his hands, and I think that's the perfect segue into the other Jimmy that's in the news today. Where are you at on this Jimmy Butler saga? It before Pat Riley's statement, it did feel like it was only a matter of time before this ended, and it probably still is. But now with Pat's statement, it seems like this is something that's going to be visited in the offseason, whether they just let him walk or whatever the case maybe. Where are you at on this whole saga?
Yeah, and just because there was a statement today from the Heat and Pat Riley doesn't necessarily mean that the Miami Heat aren't going to trade Jimmy Butler at all, right? I mean,
right?
They have no intention of trading Jimmy right now, and I know the statement reads pretty clearly, like, we are not trading Jimmy Butler, but I think that's kind of been the stance from the Heat from the beginning. Like, even when you got the initial Shams bomb a couple weeks ago, and when that happened on the show, I was trying to explain to Hawk and Crowder, for those who were listening that day, like, this doesn't mean anything to me necessarily, because here's what we knew before the initial Shams bomb, right? Here's what we knew. Jimmy Butler wants an extension, period. He wanted that $113 million two-year extension, and Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and the Miami Heat were very straightforward in the offseason that they're not going to give him the extension. So it shouldn't have surprised anybody that Jimmy Butler wasn't thrilled about that. He said all the right things coming into training camp. He said and did all the right things once the season started that he's going to play with the Miami Heat and he's committed to this team, and the goal is the goal, which is always the goal, to go win a championship. Like, he said all the right things, but I mean, would it surprise you that the guy that has led this team to two NBA finals feels like, hey, I want an extension, that he don't want to give it to him, that he would be bothered by that? I mean, I can fully understand that. So we start there, and okay, Jimmy Butler's not thrilled that the Heat don't want to give him the extension. And now he has a player option. And if he were to decline that player option, which is what the report stated, that he would be willing to decline the player option and become a free agent. Now the Miami Heat are in a position where, okay, we have to start listening, because if Jimmy's going to walk, we don't want to just lose him for anything. But it never meant that Miami was actively pursuing a trade for Jimmy. And I think there was an important distinction there from the very beginning, which was my point to Hawk and Crowder. Like, hey, the Heat are going to pick up the phone now, but it doesn't mean that Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg are pulling their phone out of their pocket and texting every single GM across the NBA saying, hey, send us your best offer for Jimmy Butler. So I was never shocked to hear that the Heat would be willing to pick up the phone for a player that they could potentially lose in the offseason if he felt like his time here in Miami was done. And I wasn't shocked to hear that Jimmy Butler, who isn't getting the extension he wants from the Miami Heat and probably feels the way all of us feel watching this team, that they're an average to above average team. Their record speaks to that fact at 14-13, that perhaps it's time to go hunt for a title somewhere else. It doesn't mean Jimmy, you know, resents being in Miami anymore. It doesn't mean Jimmy Butler hates playing under Eric Spoelstra or hates Pat Riley. It doesn't mean any of those things. It's just, hey, sometimes a relationship reaches a point where both sides would be better fit moving on from each other. And it could be, you know, a good situation for both. And now this has kind of spiraled out of control. There was the report from Barry Jackson that, you know, Jimmy wasn't thrilled about Pat Riley's comments in the offseason, where he said Jimmy should shut his mouth if he's not on the court. And that, you know, Jimmy Butler was also not thrilled that the Heat didn't give him the extension. I mean, none of those things surprise me. And Pat Riley and the Heat have probably heard some offers. Again, I'm just assuming have heard some offers of what they would be able to get back in a trade for Jimmy Butler. And it's probably not up to the type of offer that they want. So here we are. The Heat have done their due diligence and will continue to do so. And they've let everybody know, hey, we're not trading Jimmy Butler. And I think that's where I was at 2 weeks ago. And here we are 2 weeks later. And Pat Riley felt like he had to come out and release this report, which they never do, right? Like, Pat Riley meets with the media 2 times a year, Josh. And he felt like it was time to come out and do that because Shams ruined Christmas. I mean, the Shams Charania, just, you've heard of the Grinch. Now we have Shams putting on his green outfit, and he's just trying to ruin Christmas for everybody in Miami. So I don't feel any different than I felt 2 weeks ago, which is, hey, at a certain point, like, both sides have to make a decision. And right now, the Heat aren't just going to give Jimmy Butler away because Jimmy Butler, perhaps, according to reports, would prefer to go elsewhere. And if Jimmy Butler, knowing everything we know about Jimmy, if Jimmy Butler truly, truly detested being here and did not want to be here, we saw what he did in Minnesota. And
yeah, we know.
Like, he is comfortable making a stink. And he has not done that. So
this is like a soft stink.
Yeah, but is it a stink or is he just?
Well, I don't think that the Shams report is coming from nowhere, right?
Right.
I think that people are getting kind of, they're like making assumptions of the phrasing. He was very careful to say that Jimmy Butler prefers a trade out of here, right? That's different than formally requesting one. So both of those things can be true at the same time. And I'm with, like, clearly Jimmy is okay with staying, but based on the Heat not wanting to give him the extension, he knows his days here are numbered in general. And there's one other follow-up I want to ask you on this. When you see potential packages like to Phoenix, including Bradley Beal, like what is the appeal for the Heat with bringing that contract and that player in here to replace Jimmy Butler? Because if it's me, and I'm not really in the weeds on all the salary cap stuff with the NBA, it's way too complicated for my pea-sized brain to handle. But would taking on that contract or one like it be a better outcome than losing Jimmy for nothing and just freeing up that money in other ways? Does that question make sense? Do you get what I'm trying to ask you there?
I get what you're saying. Like, lose Jimmy Butler for nothing or bring in another player who's making a ton of money, but at least you have another player here of a similar caliber. My thing with the Bradley Beal situation, and the second we saw, because remember, the initial report had Golden State, it had Phoenix, and it had Houston. And then a couple days later, Shams is doubling down on his report. He calls it the most well-vetted report he's ever put out, which that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, too, because of all the things Shams has ever reported on, this specific report is the most well-vetted one he's ever put out. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But the Heat had their opportunity two off-seasons ago to bring Bradley Beal to Miami when he was with Washington before he got traded to Phoenix. And if you remember that package for Bradley Beal, I mean, it wasn't a package that he couldn't have bested. They clearly had no interest in bringing Bradley Beal here. So, and Bradley Beal is on record with that as well, you know, that Miami didn't really want me. So I struggle. First of all, you're right with the cap implications and where the Heat are right now above the first apron. I really struggle with this idea that Miami is going to say, okay, fine, now we'll go get Bradley Beal. I mean, he's making a lot more money. He's tied in for many more years. And look, if you're telling me Jimmy Butler leaves and the Heat get nothing, or Jimmy Butler leaves and the Heat get Bradley Beal, I mean, obviously, I think everybody would tell you, well, at least if Jimmy's leaving, you're able to get somebody else for him of a similar caliber. But I just don't think, A, the actual, because of the cap constructs, I don't think a deal with Phoenix for Bradley Beal would be very easy. I think the Heat would have to get a third team involved, which, you know, complicates the matter. And I don't necessarily think the Miami Heat are thrilled about Bradley Beal being in Miami, right, especially with how much money he's making. So I don't put too much credence into the Bradley Beal situation. I know a lot of people are, you know, enticed by a Warriors trade because the Warriors do have multiple first-round picks they can send to Miami. A lot of people like the idea of Jonathan Kuminga and maybe Andrew Wiggins. But even then, the Warriors would still have to send a couple, you know, would still have to add some more salary to make it work. But Jonathan Kuminga wants an extension at around $30 million annually, which is what's being reported. And, I mean, is that the difference between being, you know, a 5-6 or play-in team and being a championship contender, Jonathan Kuminga, and having to lock him in at $30 million a year moving forward? I don't necessarily think that's a wise move for the Heat, even if you are getting one or two first-round draft picks. Andrew Wiggins also makes around that much money. He's tied in for another season as well. So, again, this goes back to, are the Heat listening to offers from Jimmy Butler or for Jimmy Butler? Sure. Have they found an offer that they feel satisfies what it is that they want in order to move Jimmy Butler? Probably not, which is why they are where they are, which is, hey, and as Pat Riley said, Tyler, Bam, and Jimmy is what they're focused on. They believe that that team is good enough to go get over the hump, and they're not going to move on from it, and they're not going to be pressured into moving on from Jimmy Butler just because he's a little unhappy. And that's why you got the statement from Pat Riley today, which is, yeah, we're not being pressured into this because Shams Charania and ESPN are putting out reports that Jimmy wants a trade. Like, if there was another whale that wanted to come to Miami and it was best suited for the Heat to move on and for Jimmy Butler to move on, I'm sure they would listen to it, and I'm sure there would be multiple conversations within the Miami Heat about moving on from it. But the Heat clearly haven't received any sort of package that satisfies their needs, and right now, Jimmy Butler is going to stay in Miami. Where this becomes complicated, Appel, is, okay, Jimmy has missed two straight games with a stomach illness. He left that OKC game earlier. I believe he does have a stomach. Right, and I have no reason to expect Jimmy Butler is faking an illness. I don't think that's a fair assumption to make, even though a lot of Heat Twitter wants to do that. Right. Okay. Oh, okay. Coming from the guy that won't eat a corn dog, but okay.
Stomach's fine.
This situation could get worse, right? I mean, you know, we talked about what Jimmy did in Minnesota. The closer you get to February 6th, which is the NBA trade deadline, if Jimmy starts missing more games with things like this, then okay, do the Heat feel like, hey, this situation has kind of run its course? Now we have to make a move, perhaps. It's fluid, right? It could change between now and the first week of February. But as of right now, he's missed 7 games. This would be his 8th game if he missed today against Orlando. And I don't believe he's faking a stomach illness.
I'm not saying he's faking it either, but take some Tums or some Pepto, whatever his preferred stomach issue medicine is. I'm trying to think of how to phrase this question. Jimmy's 35 years old. You mentioned that the Heat were adamant about not giving him the extension he wanted in the offseason, which essentially kicked off this whole situation they're going through right now. Should the Heat regret not addressing this and, you know, blowing it up this past offseason? Should they regret not extending Jimmy? Should they have, would you have extended 35-year-old Jimmy Butler at the contract, at the number that he wants?
No. I don't think the Heat made the wrong decision here. I mean, there's a lot of people who feel like the Miami Heat owe it to Jimmy Butler to give him what he wants based on what he's done here for the Heat in half a decade, right? The era under Jimmy Butler, two NBA finals runs, three Eastern Conference finals appearances. They won two of them, obviously. And just the fact that since Dwayne Wade retired, I mean, they literally found another face of the organization that carried them and had unbelievable success with him. And there's some people who feel like, okay, hey, they owe it to him to give him what he wants. And that's fine. Like, you can feel that way. But those are the same people who would be outraged with the Miami Heat for putting themselves in, you know, a situation where now they're not flexible and they're not able to go whale hunting and they're not able to make certain moves because of decisions they made at the back end of a player's career. So you can't have it both ways. You can't criticize Pat Riley and the Heat for paying guys when, you know, it's not going to lead to the results that you want, which is to be back title chasing, but then also criticize them for not taking care of their superstars. So I don't think the Heat made a bad choice at all. They want Jimmy Butler to be more available throughout the course of the season. He's 35 years old. He could still play here next year if he wants to on that player option and still be paid pretty well, $52 million a year with that player option next season. Hmm. And, you know, with the way last year ended, which is the Miami Heat again in the playing tournament because he missed over 20 games or he missed 20 games exactly. And then him getting hurt at the end of the season, even though it was a freak accident because Kelly Oubre is a loser and he tripped him up and he messed up his knee. That's not where the Heat want to be at. They don't want to be, you know, perpetual play-in seed and have to pray that their best player is going to be healthy come the end of the season. So the Heat want to remain flexible and they want to have their options open. And the way I felt 2 weeks ago was that Jimmy Butler will probably be in Miami next season opting into his player option. And that's just the way I feel. And I still feel confident about that, even though the report suggests that Jimmy is not going to opt into his player option and that his feeling on the matter is that he's going to opt out and, you know, look elsewhere. There are only, I believe, one or two teams that could sign Jimmy outright as an unrestricted free agent this offseason. And that's the Brooklyn Nets based on the cap situation. Is that what Jimmy wants, to go to Brooklyn, even if they're going to give him the money he wants? If they're going to give him the money he wants to go play in Brooklyn with a team that, you know, the Heat beat the other night, they're 11-18, and they're in a total rebuild mode? Probably not. So I don't think the Heat are necessarily afraid of losing Jimmy Butler for nothing come this offseason. If he were to opt out, it would best suit Jimmy Butler to do a sign-and-trade with Miami to teams that could afford to do it. And at least, at the very least, Miami would get something in return. So, again, very complicated because of the way that the NBA cap is you know, constructed and the first and second apron, and you have to be, you know, a culinary master to understand it. But as of right now, I think this is the right move by Miami, unless an unbelievable trade package does end up getting submitted to the desk of Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg. This right now is a situation which I know a lot of people don't want to hear, but no decision right now is probably the best decision.
Well, it feels like the trade packages that the Heat have gotten so far have been the equivalent of a bag of candy canes. So with that, Solana, thank you for your time. 5:45 preheat. You can hear Solana again later right here on WQAM as the Heat get ready to take on the Magic tonight. We'll see if Pat Riley turns out to be a liar or if the Heat do indeed end up not trading Jimmy Butler. Solana, thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. 5:45 means your show is a bit abbreviated in the 5 o'clock hour. Congratulations, Appel.
Thank you. Hard day's work.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For both of us. Man.
Appreciate Later. You, bro.
Back with more.
Later.
Hawk and Crowder after this.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight.
Hawk and Crowder.